It's March 8th. You're listening to episode 11 of The Shaunakee, entitled How to Succeed in Evil, Part 3. For more information and liner notes, visit goodwordsrightorder.com. By the third hole, Edwin had put the ugly business of the morning behind him. In the elemental rhythms of the game, something deep inside him began to unclench. Not even Topper's appalling etiquette could disturb his newly formed good mood. The fourth was a challenging uphill par four, the kind of hole Edwin lived for. He was at home on a golf course. The game was on his scale. There were no doorways to duck under, no chairs designed for the average man. It was a place not measured in feet or inches, but in yards. On the tee box, he stayed completely within himself, his seemingly effortless swing resulting in a high, soaring ball, one that defied the laws of physics as it rose into the long light of the afternoon.
"Oh, very nice drive," said Topper.
"Thank you." Topper waddled up and stabbed a tee into the ground several times, as if putting the finishing touches on a back-alley murder. A waggle here, a waggle there. No practice swing, he just reared back and heaved his squat frame for all he was worth. It was a spectacular whiff. Undaunted by a stroke he wasn't going to count, he swung again. And again. The golf ball took on an air of invulnerability. Topper tried to play it off.
"Are you giving me strokes on this hole?"
"If it will help you, I won't count those last three."
"Practice swings! They were practice swings!"
Topper finally connected and squibbed one down the right side of the fairway.
"I think this club is warped. No, seriously, look at this shaft."
On the green, Edwin narrowly missed a birdie putt to close out with a par. He sat in the cart, attempting to calculate Topper's score. 4 to get off the tee, 2 lost balls, a double hit out of the sand trap, a failed explosion shot out of the trap. How many strokes do you give for picking up a ball and throwing it onto the green in disgust? Edwin gave up. "What'd you have?"
"Bogey."
As they came up on the next hole, they could see the course was hopelessly backed up. 2 foursomes ahead of them on the tee alone. They pulled into the shade to wait.
"So what happened with your meeting?" Topper asked.
"The same thing that always happens. They never listen. They never listen to me."
"I get that a lot as well, but I figure as long as they got the money to pay me, they must be doing something right."
"Do you like your clients?"
"Am I getting strokes on this hole?"
Not me. I mean in general. Do you like your clients?"
"I like it when they pay. It's not like you're supposed to like your clients."
"I just..."
"You just what?"
Never mind.
"You're just having a bad day. It will all blow over by Monday."
"I shot somebody today. A superhero."
"Really? Which one?"
"Amazing Man. Shot him right in the leg." Edwin related the events at Dr. Loeb's not-so-secret lair.
"Edwin, that's not like you, but bravo, I hate Amazing Man."
"Should I be worried about getting arrested?"
"For shooting a superhero? Nah."
"But he's actually the DA, Bernard Ding."
"Really? I had no idea." "Doesn't matter. Do you know how embarrassing it would be for a superhero to admit he'd gotten shot? They're supposed to be impervious to bullets and stuff like that. He'd never own up to it. It would make him a laughingstock. Even more of a laughingstock than he already is."
"That's a relief. But don't go around shooting superheroes in the leg every day. If you're in jail, I won't have anybody to play golf with. Just go back to work like normal on Monday. If anything comes up, that's why you have me." "But I don't want to go back to work on Monday."
"Come on, Edwin, it can't be that bad."
"It's worse. It's worse than you can possibly imagine. This morning I'm going over Dr. Loeb's financials. I point out that after all his nefarious evil doings and schemes over the past year, he's only making a 5% return on his capital investment."
"Oh, yeah. Oh, that's awful."
"He didn't get it. And when I told him he could be making an 8 to 10% return in the market, his expression never changed. He just kept smiling. Do you have any idea how much money that guy wastes on his secret lair?"
"I can't imagine."
"Does he have enough left over to pay you?" "Plenty. I make plenty of money, but that's not the point. I just can't take it anymore. They're so inefficient and dangerously irrational. Stupid. That's the word I'm looking for. Stupid.
Well, if they're so stupid, why don't you just become a villain and force them all out of business?
Me? I'm no supervillain.
Edwin, you're the smartest, unhappiest person I know. If that's not a breeding ground for villainy, I don't know what is.
Did you have an unhappy childhood?
My childhood was wonderful.
Bullshit. Bullshit. You must have gotten picked on because of your height.
No, Topper. They don't really pick on the big kids.
Oh, very nice. Go for the cheap shot,
Topper shouted right in the middle of another golfer's backswing. The other golfer shot Topper a look. It would have been an intimidating look, except the golfer was wearing knickers and a tam-o'-shanter. A pretty silly way to look serious about a sport.
You know I'm sensitive about my height, Topper finished up.
Edwin gave the golfer a little half wave of apology.
Ah, but what am I going to do with you? I can't stay mad at you. I love this guy. I love this man,
Topper shouted as Nickers tried to swing again. The result was a top drive that barely made it to the edge of the tee box. The angry golfer swatted his club on the ground and walked towards Edwin and Topper with a murderous gleam in his eye.
Seriously, I'm very, very sensitive about my height. I'm only forgiving you because when you turn villain, I want to be your sidekick.
Villains don't have sidekicks. They have henchmen.
Whatever. We'll work out the titles later. Executive Vice President of Henchmenry. Whatever you feel is best.
Hey, asshole. There are people trying to play golf here.
Why don't you go play then, asshole? I'm trying to talk to my friend.
You talk real big for a little fella, Napoleon.
Oh, like I've never heard that one before.
Topper got out of the cart and walked slowly towards the golfer.
Oh, what are you going to do? Bring your tiny penis over here and slap me with it?
Topper leaned back on his left foot, shifted his weight like a world ultra mini light featherweight champ, and let him have it right in the puffy slacks. Nickers collapsed onto the cart path, writhing in pain. Topper picked up the fallen man's tam-o'-shanter and put it on his head.
See? I'm a natural at this evil thing.
You're an attorney. It's no great stretch, Edwin said. But Topper was so excited he ignored the cheap shot.
And I'll carry a big fucking gun, bigger than me even.
No, Topper, no guns. There's nothing smart or subtle about guns.
Get you for this,
the golfer moaned.
What? The right wasn't enough for you? You want the spikes too? Hey,
Topper called out to the other members of his foursome.
You should get over here and scrape up your friend.
So what about it, Edwin? Are we going to do this thing or what? Topper, I don't want to be a villain. He looked at the caller ID. It was Edna Frapdraggle, his formidable secretary.
You're not happy being a consultant. You should maybe try something else. Let's see. What are you qualified for?
Topper, I've got to take this call.
Crossing guard, stork maybe, duster of really tall bookshelves. But which pays the best? Huh? Huh? Evil!
Hello, Edna? Yes. Edwin covered the phone. Don't kid yourself. Evil doesn't pay all that well unless you're good at it. Edna screeched something in his ear. Yes, dear, what is it?
Chromoglodon? Oh, my God. Why didn't you say so? Is he there? Is he scheduled? I'll be right in. Topper, we've got to go. Right now.
What? You don't want to finish the round?
Topper said as he leapt into the already moving golf cart.
Chromoglodon.
Holy shit. The Chromoglodon? He's one of your clients?
He's a rich supervillain, isn't he? How do you think he got that way?
Did he have an appointment?
The Chromoglodon doesn't make appointments. He doesn't use door handles. He doesn't look before crossing the street. He doesn't make appointments. I just hope my office is still standing by the time we get there.
Well, I'm sure Edna can handle it.
Look, the beast takes out entire city blocks while sleepwalking, and Edna hates him. Between the two of them... Edwin pounded on the wheel of the golf cart. Don't these things go any faster? The Chromoglodon
A hulking brute with forehead villainous low sat in, or rather on, most of Edwin's immaculate waiting room. He was chewing on a magazine and drooling on the upholstery.
"Excuse me! Excuse me!"
The Chromoglodon looked at Edna. There was no gleam of intelligence or recognition.
"Yes, that was Mr. Windsor. He will be along shortly."
The Chromoglodon resumed his magazine chewing.
"Stupid brute," Edna muttered.
She had no idea. The Chromoglodon was, in fact, so stupid that when his middle school had put on a production of The Lost Colony, they used him as the doorpost on which the mysterious letters C-R-O were carved. He had liked the letters so much that years later, he had them tattooed on his forehead. Once a doorpost, always a doorpost. When puberty hit, it was discovered that his abilities extended far beyond paste-eating and character acting. He was big and strong. Not big in a well-proportioned Greek statue kind of way, more of a blend of sumo and Turkish wrestler with none of the attractive qualities of either. In short, he was the 800-pound gorilla, and he sat wherever he wanted. But when he casually put his foot through the waiting room table, a lovely, custom-made Italian piece handcrafted in oak, Edna had had enough. She rolled up a magazine and marched around her desk.
"Now look here, you oafish creature! If you must wait here, I will not have you wrecking the furniture. Do you understand? Do I have your attention? Give me that magazine!"
As Edna snatched the magazine from his brutish, drooling maw, the Chromoglodon finally took notice. He stomped a foot in anger, and half the floor fell in.
"Stop it! Stop it this instant!"
When Edwin got to his office building, emergency services had cordoned off the area. He and Topper forced their way through the barricade and into the building. In the stairwell, Edwin quickly outdistanced Topper, taking the steps four at a time.
"Edna!"
he yelled as he crossed the threshold of his ruined office. His waiting room had been reduced to a hole three stories deep. Wires sparked ominously in the drizzle of fire sprinklers.
"Edna!"
A sense of urgency now. Completely out of breath, Topper rounded the corner.
"Holy shit!"
he said, surveying the destruction. There was a muffled cry from within the office.
"Edna!"
Heedless of personal danger, Edwin took a running start and leapt across the gaping hole. In the remnants of his beautiful office, he found Edna Frappdragle lying on the floor. It was clear. She did not have long to live. "Edna. Edna, I'm sorry. I'm...
Shh, dear boy."
She coughed up a little blood.
"Promise me?"
"Anything. Anything, you know I will."
"Be a good boy."
And with that she died, not having lived long enough to hear Edwin's reply. In fact, Edwin was unable to reply. Unable to do anything. He held her body and looked out over the city. In the distance, a tall building fell on the Chromoglodon continuing his rampage. Helicopters headed towards the plume of smoke. Holding a dead woman in his arms, Edwin sat very still while the sun set and the helicopters turned on their spotlights. As they continued to circle and point their fingers of blame at the tragedies they were powerless to stop. Eventually, paramedics came with a stretcher and took Edna away. Still, Edwin Windsor stared out the window, his magnificent brain wrestling with the pointlessness of it all and his inability to keep a dying woman's promise. Topper sat down next to him. In an uncharacteristic display of sensitivity, he said,
"Ed, are you okay?"
"Okay? You want evil?" He asked no one in particular and everyone all at once. "I'll show you evil. I'll give you evil the way it should be."
"Ooh. Ooh. Does this mean I get to buy a gun?"
"Sure, Topper. Buy a cannon for all I care."
"So what are we gonna do first, huh, boss?"
"Don't call me boss." Edwin looked out over the city. In the distance, another building collapsed, offering up bright flecks of secondary explosions. We're going to get the Cro-Magnon.
How do you kill the Cro-Magnon? He's unstoppable.
Oh, no. We won't be killing the Cro-Magnon. He's far too useful for that.